Welcome to the Nutrition and Health Podcast with Maria. I'm your host, Maria Aiello. I'm a certified nutrition and health coach, and I'm here to help you toss aside your previous beliefs about nutrition and help you get healthy on and off the plate. Hey guys, welcome back. I'm super, super excited about today's show because I have a special guest. I have not had guests on here for season two at all yet. So this is the, popping my season two cherry here and having one of my favorite people on today. My guest is Kate Anslinger. She is actually the first friend I made when I came to Boston, the Boston area. I didn't really know anybody, and I'm pretty sure she's the first friend that I made outside of like cousins and family and stuff like that. And she surely made an impression. I always remember she was at the gym reading on the treadmill, actually like snuck and took like a creep picture of her. Like, who is this crazy person reading on the treadmill? And then, you know, making friends as women is, you know, it's like trying to find a new boyfriend. So, you know, she walks out of yoga with her husband, and I'm, you know, break the ice there of talking to her, like, how'd you get your husband to come to this? And, you know, fast forward 11 years probably or something like that, I've been here. Still friends. We collaborate a lot creatively, which is awesome. But one of the reasons I wanted to have Kate on this podcast is because she just switched careers and followed her dream and just like is blowing the roof off of everything. And I feel like as women, as moms, sometimes it's hard to just have this dream in your head and just go for it and just like go full force with it. And I thought that she could come on and tell us our story and give us some inspiration for January and tell us what she did. She's really kicking ass. So Kate, welcome after that long-winded introduction.
Thank you so much. That was quite the introduction.
Yeah. Well, it's always fun to have a friend on the show too. So tell our amazing listeners and yourself when you listen to it again, you know, tell us a little bit about you and what you're doing. What's your life like?
So,
who are you? Who is Kate Anslinger?
Maria is correct. We've been friends now for 11 years, going on 12, met at the gym. I think one of the reasons why Maria and I click so well is we've got these creative juices flowing all the time. So we understand each other. But anyways, I am a fiction author of the McKenna Mystery Series, as well as two standalones. And I'm a ghostwriter for clients in both fiction and nonfiction. I was a news reporter, a blogger. I'm an editor and a book coach as well. So I'm kind of, I run the gamut on all things writing and words.
Yeah, you definitely do. You have like a wordsmith. So why don't you tell us, I don't even know if I specifically know what you did before exactly. So I know you were in the Air Force. So why don't you just like give us a quick little summary of like what you were doing?
Truthfully, I don't know what I did before. Just kidding.
I know we used to email all the time.
I know. So I was in the Air Force for 4 years in communications. I got out. I worked as a personal trainer for several years. That was like my favorite job. I loved being a personal trainer.
Mine too.
Being in the health industry is awesome. I met the greatest people. And then I was in special events. I worked at special events at the John F. Kennedy Museum in Boston when I first moved back to this area. And yeah, so that's actually was my last, I guess, quote, real job.
Quote. Well, so tell me a little bit about like, because I remember I met you when you were at the JFK Museum. So, and you were writing one of your standalones, Saving Jason, right? So that was that like the first thing you ever wrote?
Yeah. So, okay, this is how it went.
I know you like makeup stories and stuff, but
yes.
Is that like the first book?
I've always like loved to write. I would hate to look back at some of the stuff I wrote when I was a kid. It's embarrassing. But I do remember like having a fifth grade teacher tell me that, you know, I was a good writer. And I obviously that's not a huge deal when you're in fifth grade, but it was
Yeah, it
something
is.
I always really enjoyed. And when I was at the when I was pregnant with my first baby in 2013, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna. I was reading a lot, and I think when you read a lot, you naturally start to writers question, "Hey, can I do this too?" And so I was like, I'm just gonna try it, and I'm gonna dedicate. You know, like I must have been reading a self-help book at the time that said dedicate like a certain amount of your day to your goal. So I'm like, I'm just gonna try writing for like maybe an hour every day, and you know. What came of that was Saving Jason, my first book. And by the time that actually published, I think I was 6 months pregnant. No, I'm sorry, I had my baby. But I knew a friend I had worked with back in corporate America, and she was an author. And so I reached out to her and I was like, hey, can you read this? And she's like, actually said it was good. And like, you know, when you're first writing, it's very scary to put yourself out there, like in any industry.
Yeah.
And she was working for a publishing company, so she was like, I'm gonna pitch this, blah, blah. Long story short, it got picked up. It was a hybrid, very small publisher. And when that happened, I had been thinking all summer, because it got picked up in May, I was thinking all summer, like, God, I just want to do this for a living. And so it was also better for me to, you know, I wanted to be around my baby more because I was working late hours and special events. And so, you know, I asked my husband, I was like, what do you think about me trying to do this? And of course, my husband is very realistic and he's always, you know, had a steady job and everything. And he was totally supportive of it though. And so my goal was that I would do it, you know, a few hours every day of the week, spend more time with my kid. And what happened from there, you know, I think sometimes you have that gut feeling and you're like, this is what I need to be doing. And things, the universe just kind of pushes you in the right direction. So from there, I was writing my second novel and I got a job as a newspaper reporter, which I did that for several years. And that kind of spurred into writing blogs and being a ghostwriter for companies like newsletter writers. And then meanwhile I started working on my series. And then one day I get a call from an old friend and they're like, hey, my boss wants to write a book. And so that's how I kind of got into ghostwriting. And from there I've just been busy nonstop. So I set out to write, you know, a couple of books, see where it would go, following my gut. And then it kind of opened up into this whole world of writing, editing, publishing.
Wow, that's like a snowball effect. So you basically like went with your gut and you're like, I'm just gonna see what happens.
It's a snowball effect, totally. And I think it happens with a lot of people who, you know, follow their intuition.
Yeah. I mean, I think the hardest thing, like, how did you get past that fear of what if I write this book, people read it, and it sucks,
Oh,
and nothing happens?
it's so funny because when I first published it, I was like, oh my God, like everyone's gonna read this. People are either going to hate it or they're going to love it. And I thought the whole world was going to see, like, back then, I just thought, like, I had these weird ideas in my head that when you publish a book, everyone, well, first of all, five people probably read it, you know, that first, like, month or so. But,
Well, one of them was me. I remember saying to
yes.
my husband, I was like, you know, I really like Kate. I hope this book doesn't suck because she asked
Oh,
me to read it.
that's, well, the hardest thing is
And it
when
was awesome. It was awesome, though.
friends reading it, and you've like been one of my biggest supporters, but like friends reading it is actually the hardest thing
Yeah,
because,
putting yourself out there.
yeah, it's awkward. I don't ever bring it up if I know someone's reading the book. I just let it fizzle. They'll bring it up if they want
Well, did you have like a backup plan? Did you have a backup plan, like if I fail, or were you just like, I know I can do this in my gut, I feel it, like I'm just gonna go for it? Or were you like walking that line at all?
I think my backup plan was to like get back into special events maybe or personal training, and I kind of always thought that, you know, I was a government employee when I was in special events, so I was like, well, I could maybe always get a government job again. So maybe that was kind of like my thought, or I'll switch into personal training, because I always did love that.
Yeah.
But honestly, I did not see it picking up in so many different directions. I thought I was going to write these books, publish them on my own. I didn't think like someone would ever trust me to write a book for them. I didn't even think like someone would trust me to write a blog post for them. And then it
Yeah.
was like, and one of the keys, I think, is like when you're starting out with any side hustle, I took every single opportunity that was thrown in my direction, every single one. I mean, I was covering plant sales in Winthrop. And I would do anything because I so badly wanted to learn and I wanted to get into that industry, regardless of which direction. I knew I wanted to write, and I spanned across several different ways of doing that. But
Yeah, more like building that resume, less about the money, more like just taking it all. And
Exactly.
was there something, do you feel like there was something like that really was helpful to you to like kick you over the edge? Was it having your baby that you needed to take that maternity? Like, what was that like? I was always curious about that. Like,
Yeah, so I changed a lot when I was, as we all do, when I had a baby, and I had these weird thoughts in my head that like, who am I to, raise this tiny human and, coach them through life when I haven't, jumped off the cliff and, went after what I really wanted. So I kind of just, it's almost like I had this like inner mom power that was like pushing me ahead. Also, I will say that, my own mother, when I told her my idea, she was actually a huge cheerleader and was like, I think you should do it. I think you should just sit down every day and write a little bit and, don't worry about, the finances. And she would give me, I will share this, she would give me a mini paycheck every week. I mean, it wasn't something I could live off,
I
but
love your mom.
she was basically paying me to sit down and write books that weren't really possibly going to make any money at all.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit of a boost. I mean, it was like, it wasn't a lot of money, but it wasn't anything to live off or anything, but it was encouragement
Well,
and to know that someone.
yeah. And as moms, our job is to make our children's dreams come true.
Right.
And what did Diane do? We're giving Diane a shout
There's a shout out for Diane. She's a big listener of this
out.
podcast, so.
I love her. Love you. That's awesome. I think the support is a huge part of being able to take that leap and being like, I'm gonna do this. Like, fake, not even like fake it till you make it, but almost fake it till you make it. Like,
It is
with other
fake.
people
Yeah,
believe in you, right?
completely. And I was very shy to tell people I wrote at all at first. Like, I think you were one of the only people that knew. And even when I asked my told my husband about it, I was like, by the way, I wrote a book. He really didn't even know. And now
Does
he's like
he,
proofreader.
yeah, I was gonna say, does he like read them all? Like, who reads them first? Who's the, besides your editor, probably? Like, who, does he read it first?
Kim and you actually are the first,
Yeah.
usually the very first readers. And then my best friend in New Hampshire, she's an early reader. And then like a couple of other friends. And then readers I've kind of picked up along the way that are always have always been so, like so faithful.
Yeah. That's funny. Do you like do you share sort of like your story ideas with him? Like, are you able to share that kind of stuff with him? Like, or like stuff like that at home?
At first, I was so scared about it, but now he is so into it. Like, if I have an idea, he actually came up with the main idea for Chasing Ghosts, which I won't give away, but like, it was a total twist in the book. And I was like, and here's the thing, he's not a creative person. He's an engineer mind, like, so he gets really into it, or I'll bounce ideas off his head and he comes right back.
Yeah. Oh, that's, you inspire him to be creative. Maybe he'll have you ghostwrite some legal drama.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, I don't know what could possibly
Oh, I'm
happen,
already
but
thinking. The ideas are already spinning.
that's so funny. I'm glad that a support system. I feel like that's the best way is like to have your people, like your main squad support you.
You know what, too, is if you don't have like a family that's supportive, say, like, no one in my family really supported me, whatever. I think something that's critical is to go and find, for writing purposes, you can do this with any side hustle, but groups that support that. I mean, now with Facebook, it's like all you have to do is Google, okay, writing groups or critique groups, and you'll have this little community around you that builds you up when you're first starting out, which is what you need.
Yeah, that's a great point actually, because I feel like there's a lot of people who have like side hustles, whether it's like crafting or, they like to create things or paint things, and they just don't have that confidence to be like, I'm just gonna make this side hustle my full-time gig, because it's a big scary thing to be like, I'm not gonna rely on somebody to give me a paycheck every week. I'm gonna make my own.
Right. And I think too, it comes to a point where it's like, well, how much time are you spending on the side hustle? And is it, burning you out? And what would you rather be doing? But it is, it's taking a risk. But, if you have people that, it's also like networking, which is a huge thing too.
Yeah. Well, you definitely don't have a problem with that because you talk to
I
everybody.
will talk to
You're very
a
social.
wall if I have to.
I feel like you're kind of like me. You're like that, what is it? Extroverted introvert.
Yes, I've had this conversation before. Yeah, I love my alone time, but I can also like talk to anyone, and I'm very interested in like other people's lives and stories.
Yeah. That's like me. I'm like, sometimes I'm like, I just can't talk to another person.
Yes.
I just need to stop.
Yeah.
And actually, yesterday I was at a meeting and I said that I had RBF, resting business face.
That's
Was like, that's
amazing.
my new term. It's not gonna be resting bitch face anymore. It's gonna be resting
Oh my God,
business
you just
face.
started something new. We need to hashtag that.
Yeah, well, it came up in conversation with my networking group girls that I deal with, and we're talking about making some apparel, and I was like, I want one that says RBF, resting business
I
face, because it's like
love
all
that.
women, and
Oh my
I thought
God. That's
that
amazing. I've never heard that
was
before.
really hilarious. Yeah, well,
Brand
we all
new.
know resting bitch face that I definitely have, but yeah, so I think that's great. I'm really happy that like the support of family. You have that because as your friend, I obviously want to see you do well, but also as an avid reader myself, we need good books in the world.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it's really changed, like your career change has influenced your family? Like, you obviously have two daughters. Do you feel like it influenced or changed your family in any way, or even with your parents?
Definitely. Because, before I was like, I was going into work, you're away from the house more because you're commuting there for one, this is if you work from home. And my kids see me working more now. So it's not like just mommy's going away. It's like writing in my career is kind of always infiltrated in our world. Like, for example, we were on vacation last week and I had to take an hour every morning to do some writing work while they went to the water park, And so they always know that it's here. It's very present in our lives, and which I like because I think it gives a like it gives you that work-life balance. So they know that, you can do both.
Raising those strong women to work and be moms. And
Right. Yeah.
what do you think, hubby life has changed? Do you feel like anything's changed with him? Is he like looking at you
Well,
differently, or
I think I'm
what do
happier, and I think when you're happier doing what you love, then you
think? Yeah.
naturally kind of like spill into the world like that. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, like you don't come home bitching from the office, like, oh,
doing
today
something
was
you
such a
don't
hard
enjoy all
day.
day, like. And one of the reasons why I took this leap too is I forgot to touch upon this is I've worked a lot of jobs where I've been like they've been like 9 to 5s, like receptionist positions, admin assistants, and you're basically doing nothing for 8 hours and you're watching like the clock tick because there's just not a lot. Like, I'm a very project-based person,
Yeah.
and my biggest fear and nightmare is to have to go back to a job like that where you're just not.
Waiting for the clock
Give me,
to be 5 o'clock.
give me a
Oh,
project.
that's so
Yeah, it's
hilarious.
awful. Like, I couldn't. Like, that was such a depressing thought to have to go into a space for 8 hours and not really do anything, you know?
Oh yeah, I remember those days, yeah, sitting in the cubicle, emailing you even.
That's right. Like, we were emailing them.
You run out of projects and you're like, all right, well, I'm stuck here till 5. Mm-hmm. You know, what else? What can I do for the next 4 hours? Yep.
It's terrible.
Can't take another lunch break, right. You know? And geez, God forbid you leave at 5:01. You're like the slacker of the office.
Exactly. And now it's like time flies when you're doing, you know, something you enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And to be able to work at home is right. Great. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, any words of, I want you to plug your books for sure and your contact info, but any words of wisdom for, I mean, primarily our audience, I think, is women. I think I looked at the analytics for this show before and it's all women, but what words of wisdom do you have for somebody who's got a side hustle or even just a dream to maybe they want to be a writer or a jewelry designer or fashion designer? I don't know, whatever. What words of wisdom do you have for people looking to?
I would say find your support system, find your group. It doesn't have to be your family. It doesn't have to be your husband. It could be, you know, a group that, an online group. It could be anything, anyone who's lifting you up. And stay away from naysayers, because I remember I had a couple of those at the beginning when I was leaving my old job. And I think I got a few eye rolls when I told people that I was going to be a writer. Rightfully so. I get it now. But it's very easy to get to sink into a low place and not have the confidence. It could be something one person says, but here's the deal. This is your journey. It's not everybody else's journey. You don't have to, you're not going to follow the same path that they followed, because we're all so different. And then I would say find what you love to do and find what you're good at, because those things are usually correlated. And just keep building up over time, I think. I mean, I think I was writing that book for like 9 months while I was still employed. And I just get feedback on what you're doing. And when you get that positive feedback, I think that'll give you more confidence to take the leap.
Yeah. Always growing, learning, figuring out what you can do.
Yeah, that's so critical. So critical.
I mean, even still now, like I take every free seminar on anything health related, nutrition. I mean, obviously I have my education, but anything that I can find nuggets of information to learn from, I'm like always just like putting it in my brain.
Yeah, and that's much as why you're so good at what you do too, because also the health and everything is constantly changing too. And there's, you know, new developments. Yeah. So you have to stay on top of that stuff. It's almost like I consider it to be school, nonstop schooling, you know, and I think it always will be, and I'm fine with that. So you have to be ready to work hard and you have to be ready to learn.
Yeah. I think I saw some meme. It was like, I quit my 9 to 5 from so I could run my own business. And now I work like whatever it was, like 9 to 9 or something ridiculous like that.
Right.
That's when you own your own business, you're like always working.
Exactly.
And I think the difference is like, it's less of a chore to work, right? If you are running your own business, you love what you do. So you work all the time. You don't, like, I'm in the shower and I'm like, oh, that's a great idea for a reel or a podcast. I'm like washing my hair.
Yes. It like, never feels like work. That's right.
Yeah. My 4:30 in the morning, writing notes. By the way, I saw your text this morning at 4:40 or whatever it was this morning.
No, was I up at 4:40? This morning.
I can't look at my phone, but whatever you text me back, it was like 4. I don't even think it was 5 o'clock.
You know what? I think I did awake. Text you. I was really getting up early for a while, and then the kids started getting up with me. So I'm like, why am I getting up early? Because I'm not really getting much work done. So now I bumped it up a little.
4:49.
Really? I must have got up for something. Huh? I don't even remember what happens when I'm asleep and I wake up. I'm like in a total zone.
I already had like part of my day. I already got up, drank some water, got dressed, went to the gym. I was like rolling in, like peeking through. Let's get the doors open yet. All right. So tell everybody all your contact information, where they can find your books. You guys got to read these books. I know a lot. I refer them everywhere, but
I've gotten so many readers.
Tell everybody where to find you.
So KateAnslinger.com. Kate Anslinger.
A-N, you know what? I'll put it in the show notes.
A-N-S Slinger.
Your name.
I write the McKenna Mystery Series, which is really the, my most is my most followed books. And I'm this year, big news is I'm releasing book 6 in the series, but I'm also releasing a prequel. So if you want to find out if you like it, you'll get a free copy if you sign up on my website. And I'm also spinning off into another series called The Town. And that is going to be about small town secrets, family dramas, that kind of fun stuff.
Okay. I like that. So McKenna, tell them what McKenna Mystery is. Sure. Like, do you have like a quick memorized like snippet?
This is my elevator pitch. So it follows Detective Grace McKenna, who works in small town Bridgeton, Mass Police Department. She was born with a gift where when she looks into a criminal's eyes, she can see flashes of a crime that they committed. And her job, once she sees that, is she's compelled to find out what they did. So she has to put the pieces of the puzzle together. But she's a cop, and she doesn't want people to think she's crazy. So she tries to do it behind the scenes. So that, on top of her other police work, is where things get really crazy, and she ends up in a lot of tight situations.
Mm, she does. These are very, very good books.
Thank you.
I'm a little biased, but I'm also an avid reader, so I think I have a relatively decent opinion on books, whether they're good or bad. And they're really good. So kateanslinger.com. It's a very beautiful website.
It is gorgeous. I have no idea where I got it done.
All right. Well, anything else that you want to share with us before we hit the road here?
I say, you know, follow your gut. This is going to sound so cheesy and cliche, but like if you really feel like, I'm not just saying like, oh, I would like to, you know, do this. It has to be something that you really feel passionate about and ready to commit to, because that's another thing is you have to be all in, you have to commit to it, you know, and start little by little, like start an hour a day. And then, you know, if you find out that that hour is turning into 5 hours, then maybe that's your side hustle or maybe that's your next full-time job.
Yeah. I love that. Just commit an hour a day and see where it goes. Yeah. A productive hour though, because there's sometimes hours where I'll look at a sheet of paper. I don't do much.
I have those too. Yep.
Yeah. Well, thank you, my friend, for being here. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in for another week. And Kate.
Thank you for having
me around. You're welcome. Bye, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm so happy that you were able to spend some time with me. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Instagram, Maria E. Aiello on Instagram. You can find Nutrition and Health by Maria on Facebook as well. Also, you can check out my website at nutritionbymaria.com and connect with me there. Hope to talk to you soon. Stay well.